Good afternoon. I would like to call to order the November 2nd, 2020 regular session of the Historic Preservation Commission meeting. Mr. Lau, would you please call roll?
Yes, ma'am. Vice Chair Beal.
His mouth is moving. His speaker's just
present.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Commissioner Honestad. I know he's here. Commissioner Honestad?
Well, sorry, I was muted. I am on the line. Thank you.
Thank you. Commissioner Huff?
Can you hear me?
Yes, no. Sir.
Okay, present. Sorry, guys.
Quite all right. Commissioner Wilson?
Here.
And Chair Munden.
Here.
All right.
Thank you, Mr. Lau. I'd like to thank everyone for taking the time to join us this evening. This meeting is taking place online to comply with the ongoing social distancing requirements and ensure the community's ability to participate. In order to participate, one must be logged into Zoom directly by computer or telephone. Please note that a password is now required for those who are joining the meeting via telephone. For those who are unfamiliar with the Zoom software, I'd like to provide a quick overview of how to participate. Everyone's microphone, except for the individual that has the floor, will be muted throughout the meeting to ensure as smooth and efficient meeting as possible. Only select staff can turn on your microphone at the appropriate time if you'd like to ask a question or provide comments. I will do my best to let everyone know when it is appropriate to raise your hand for a particular agenda item. If you wish to address the commission on any agenda item or during the call to audience, please raise your hand only when I announce it is appropriate to do so. There are two ways to do this. For those participating on any platform other than by phone, find and select the participants icon. This will open a dialogue box that lists all the participants in the meeting. Scroll down until you find your name and select it. Once your name is selected, a second box will pop up where you have the option to raise your hand. For those participating via phone, press *9 to raise your hand. Please wait to raise your hand until the appropriate agenda item has been announced, and after I announce the opportunity to do so. Otherwise, we will not be able to discern which topic that you wish to address in relation to the agenda. Our aim is to proceed in a timely and efficient manner. Once your hand is raised, Mr. Lau will be alerted to your request to speak. So please raise your hand if you have a question or comment after I announce the appropriate time to do so. At the appropriate time, I will call on those with their hands raised to provide questions or comment. I will then announce your name and staff will unmute your access to your so you can speak. Please make sure you are not also muted on your personal device. Please review the meeting agenda so you know the item on which you'd like to speak. Please don't raise your hand until we have made it to that item on the agenda. As with all Town of Oro Valley public meetings, please clearly state your name and whether or not you are an Oro Valley resident. Also, speakers are limited to no more than 3 minutes. A timer will be used as with in-person meetings, and we ask you to please respect the three-minute limit. Call to audience, Next on the agenda is call to audience. During call to audience, you may address the commission on any issue you wish. However, it will not be open for discussion. Pursuant to the Arizona Open Meeting Law, individual commission members may ask town staff to review the matter, ask that the matter be placed on a future agenda, or respond to criticism made by speakers. However, the commission may not discuss or take legal action on matters raised during call to audience. In advance, email requests are preferred. However, At this time, anyone who is participating through video link may raise their hand. Those on the phone dial *9. Mr. Lau, did we receive any advance requests to speak?
We did not receive any requests to speak in advance.
Thank you. Please read the next item.
Before we move on, Chair Munden, we can give it a second to see. There's a couple people in the audience. So I didn't receive any advanced requests to speak, but there are a couple people that can still
raise their hand. Okay.
Yep. Okay, it doesn't look like we have any hands raised. Chair Munden, excuse me, you can close call the audience and we can move on.
Okay, moving on. Since there are no calls to audience, would you please read the next agenda item?
Yes. Next on the agenda is council liaison comments.
Council Member Solomon, do you have anything to report?
I'm not tonight. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilmember Solomon. Brandon, may we have the next agenda item, please?
Yes. Next agenda item is presentations. Item number one is Historical Society Update, presented by Roxy Johnson, President. Let me get her all set up. One second. There we go.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Mrs. Johnson, you may give your report.
I will be happy to do so. You all know that Parks and Recreation has decided to use the garage building. Therefore, the Historical Society won't be using that. Number two on my agenda, the Historical Society Board has had regular meetings over the summer. There wasn't a meeting place available, so we met at my home with masks, of course. We spent a lot of time planning for our fall and winter displays, hoping that the Push House Museum will be open soon. We received our certification from the Arizona Historical Society. Because of COVID, it kind of got lost down there, but I called and Lee started looking, and a week later it arrived in the mail. We're actively researching some improvements to the tack room building so that it would be more usable during the cool months. Currently, we are looking at bringing power into the building. Our good friend, Lyra Doan, passed away last weekend. She was one of our earliest members, and she was the second treasurer for us. She was my neighbor, so I was aware of what was going on at her home. And lastly, we have received gifts from Push family member George Jr., who lives in the LA area, that originally belonged to George and Matilda Push, very unusual Indian artifacts. They're baskets, and I've never seen anything like them before. That's my report for the evening, Ms. Munden.
Thank you, Mrs. Johnson.
You're welcome.
Brandon, may I have the next agenda item, please?
Yes, next on the agenda is consent agenda. Item number one is review and approval of the September 24th, 2020 study session and October 5th, 2020 regular session meeting minutes.
I have a couple changes. On the October 5th minutes, they have me as commissioner, Dan Huff as chair. And was he absent? I can't remember.
Yes.
Yes, okay. Then on the study session, they have Dan Huff as chair. And then also, were all those people absent? Or did some show up afterward? is a question for who remembers.
Chair Munden, I'll have to double check on that, but I will make sure that those changes are made.
Okay. Thank you. And that's all I have. Anyone else have any commissioners? Okay, no discussion. Okay, I move to approve with changes, the September 24th study session and October 5th regular session minutes. May I have a second?
Second.
Was that Vice Chair Beal?
Yes.
Thank you. Mr. Lau, may I have the roll call, please? Seconded by Dan Beal.
Yes, Vice Chair Beal.
He's muted.
Present.
Commissioner Honestad.
Approve.
Commissioner Huff.
Mine would be an abstention because I wasn't present.
Okay.
But you can approve the 24th. You were there for that, right?
Yes, I approve. If there's two of them on the table, I approve the earlier one, but the October meeting I was absent, and so that is an abstention.
So are we doing this one?
I guess I'll lean to Tobin on that one.
Could you repeat it again? He can he can abstain for the one he wasn't present for. That's correct.
Yeah, okay. Chair, when she made her comments on the minutes, made the comments on both the study session as well as the October 5th meeting, and that's really the way it's agendized. And so if they were not present, they need to abstain from the one they weren't present for, but they can approve the one they were there for, right?
Correct.
Question, okay.
We'll note that for Commissioner Huff.
Did we get Mr. Hanstead's approval?
We did. We're on to Commissioner Wilson.
Approved.
And lastly, Chair Munden.
Approved. On to the next agenda item, Brandon.
Yes, ma'am. Place. Regular session agenda item number one is presentation and discussion regarding historic preservation topics for certified local governments.
Do you have a screen share of that one for everybody of my PDF, Brandon? Sorry, PowerPoint.
Yeah, give me 1 second.
Aunt Mrs. Dellerman, you have the floor. I'm sorry.
That's okay. Thanks.
Okay. I pulled it up. Let me screen share.
Yeah. I don't know why it came out like that. What I sent in has all kinds of pretty colors. But the version you all got to see is all black and white. So at any rate, this is preservation training number two, basics for creating a strong historic preservation commission. So I thought I would reiterate, I did explain last time where the information for my presentations is coming from. And I have found that there are cities and towns throughout the United States that do trainings for their historic preservation commission. So I have stolen their content and am using that as a training tool for you guys. So that's where this information comes from. And the end result will be after we have some robust information that we'll be able to create a document for you all as well. But in the meantime, that's what we're doing here is going through the same trainings that they give all in one fail swoop or have a guide that they hand out to their commissions. At any rate, as I go through the document that I've created for you guys here today, I want you to keep in mind both elements of the things that are under your jurisdiction, which are Steam Pump Ranch and then our historic neighborhoods. And I say that because Historic Preservation Commission's primary responsibilities are with national registries or local registries of historic places, or making sure some are created to help protect our historic resources. So so with that, with those two elements in mind, I thought I would go through the document. So what is historic property? In preservation terms, a property may be a prehistoric or historic district, site, building, structure, or object that has been determined to have historic significance by applying criteria that are adopted by the governing body. So I just wanted to mention that in this situation for Steam Pump Ranch, the criteria that allowed it to be nominated, and we'll see this criteria down below, was criteria A, for its association with cattle ranching during the Arizona territorial period and the founding of a settlement along the Cañada del Oro region. And then secondly, under criteria C, which is ranch, the ranch house being a good representation of architecture related to cattle ranching in southern Arizona. This type of construction is called vernacular architecture for its use of local materials and knowledge, usually without the supervision of professional architects. It is assumed the building or structure, it is assumed that all the buildings and structures at Steam Pump Ranch are vernacular. So local materials and knowledge, usually without the supervision. So I don't know if I skipped around. Generally, a historic property is one that is associated with an activity or person of importance in the community's history. So that was the criteria A. So again, the ranching. And then it could represent a noteworthy designer. That is not the situation here, but may be the situation as we move forward with some of our historic neighborhoods. And then C is a type of building construction that is important in the area's history. Again, the local vernacular. And then what does historic preservation mean? Preservation means keeping historic properties and places in active use while accommodating appropriate improvements to sustain the viability and character. So in many communities, this is about finding the right adaptive reuse of buildings so that the building is preserved as well as being utilized, thus having an important role in the community today. So what I wanted to mention with that is we see a lot of that in downtown Tucson, where they take the historic stores and turn them into a bar or a furniture store or what have you. And they have adaptively reused the building to make it important in today's society. And our only building that will likely have a really significant change to its character. In other words, it won't be a home. It'll likely house a little restaurant or who knows what would be the Proctor Lieber House. So someday we hope to have somebody in there, and that may be adaptively reused to help preserve it and serve the community. And then it also means historic keeping historic resources for the benefit of the future. Meaning that while maintaining properties in active use is the immediate objective, this is in part a means of assuring that these resources will be available for others to enjoy in the future. And then how do you sustain viability and character? It's about managing change. This is important, but not freezing historic properties or districts in time. In other words, things do change, and that is recognized as part of historic preservation. But especially as we look into districts and stuff, we do want to make sure that those, as well as at Steam Pump Ranch, those external visual portions of the homes maintain their their look. So they are preserved, but they're not necessarily frozen in time because they're adaptively reused. It is not simply about maintaining a historic appearance, but about maintaining authenticity where possible. In addition to maintaining the historic appearance, preserving original materials and craftsmanship of historic properties is also of extreme importance. Why do we preserve historic resources? We preserve historic resources because preservation honors our diverse heritage. Preservation supports sound community planning and development. Preservation maintains community character and supports livability. And preservation supports sustainability in our communities, as well as keeping historic resources for the benefit of future generations. So I wish I would have thrown some pictures in there because maybe it would have not been so black and white. but it really was a very pretty PowerPoint originally. Does anybody have any questions on the PowerPoint? Comment. All right, that's the end of my presentation. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Lau.
Elena.
Yes.
Is there any discussion on that last item one more time? Okay. Mr. Lau, the next item, please.
That's regular agenda item number 2. Is discussion and possible action to clarify and approve amendments to 2 approved topics and select a 3rd essay topic for the 2021 William H. Adler Historic Expository, right? Writing contest for local 4th grade students.
Okay, so on this one, I just wanted to point out that the only reason you're seeing 1 and 2 again, those are the 2 you selected last time, is because there was some typos in them. So I'll reread them, although I noticed there's an extra is in number 1 still. So it will not go out with that additional is. Those were you to say, yes, we now agree with this, the way it's written out that without typos. And then the last one is so that you can see. So Joyce Rickner is our expert in that helps us questions as we develop them for the essay contests for the last several years. And she really researched when I told her that we wanted something about horses in the Southwest. She really researched something that would make them learn without any hearsay or having it be a subject that didn't have a definitive answer, instead something that was very real. And so the question's short, but it's very robust in the amount of study it will take. So first I'll read 1 and 2. Please provide a brief history of University of Arizona football. Please include what year the University of Arizona began participating in football, what the team's original name was and why it changed, and who, forget the is there, who your favorite player from 1899 to 1980 is and why. So that's a multiple section question. And then number 2 is what genres of music were popular in the Tucson region during the 1920s through the 1950s when John Proctor managed the Pioneer Hotel in downtown Tucson and lived at Steampunk Ranch. Name some of the ways people from the time enjoyed music. And then number 3, so this is the one that you guys are going to approve or disapprove as your horse question. How did horses arrive in Arizona and what were some of the characteristics that allowed them to thrive in the arid Arizona environment? So is there any comment on that number 3? Does that, do you approve of that that question as being your horse question that you requested last time?
Sounds good.
Okay, so I move to approve the 3rd question that Lenan just read. Do I need to read it again? May I have a second?
I'll second. Dan Huff.
Dan Huff, thank you. Mr. Lau, can we take a vote?
Yes, we do. All right. Sorry, where's my list? Okay. Vice Chair Beal? You're muted.
Approve.
Thank you, sir. Commissioner Honestad?
Approve.
Commissioner Huff?
Approve.
Commissioner Wilson?
Approve.
And Chair Munden?
Approved.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lynn Ann. Mrs. Dellerman. Thank you, Mr. Lau. Please read the next item on the agenda.
Regular session agenda item number 3 is discussion and possible action regarding future funding requests for Steam Pump Ranch prioritization plan.
Mr. Jankowski, you have the floor.
Thank you very much, Chair Munden. Good evening, Chair Munden and Commission members. I am bringing back to you from the September 24th study session the topic that we discussed during that meeting, which is regarding the future funding request for Steam Pump Ranch, the prioritization plan that staff is recommending in moving forward as we get into the budget season, as well as just identifying areas of need at the ranch and establishing some direction that we can use moving forward. The priority funding plan identifies the areas of need and strategic value as the next steps are taken to continue to grow and improve the Steam Pump Ranch property. I'll be going over a list of items that are in order of importance to remain true to the prior reports completed on the property, as well as the Historic Preservation Code. And it is through these lenses that town staff has developed this approach, with preservation and civic benefit being factors as well. It truly is the desire of staff to ultimately set a path towards actualization of being able to fully tell the story of Steam Pump Ranch. A little bit of background on this. As I said, I know that some of this may sound duplicate from the study session meeting, which that's a little bit by design, but staff is evaluating the property on a continual basis through not only its own uses, but those of other organizations and agencies. And it's ultimately the desire of staff to fund and preserve those structures located within the historic core of the site, as they're in most disrepair and hold the most historical value. It's also a benefit that these structures provide the setting for the significant majority of all use on the property. A breakdown of items by listing priority 1 or priority 2 tiers is going to be listed by me, as well as listed in the staff report, which you all received, with justification for each structure to include cost estimates, how the town envisions it providing the best return on investment for the community. Additionally, the Steam Pump Ranch Assessment and Stabilization Report from December 2014, the 2020 Consult Econ Adaptability Report, and the Historic Preservation Code, Section 6-10-1, Purpose, Mission, and Objectives, assisted with most of these determinations. I do want to make a point with regards to some of the properties in, or some of the structures, the pieces in Priority 1. At the time of the study session, as well as when this agenda went out to the commission members, we had not gotten up to date estimates for a couple of pieces of property. That has since changed, so I will be providing more accurate estimates, which, again, if this prioritization plan is voted on and approved by the commission members tonight, these are the dollar values that we'd use in moving forward to make budget asks and requests. So Brandon has been nice enough to go ahead and pull up the Steam Pump Ranch property, this map here. As you can see, the historic core is identified in this attached map as a dashed line along portions of the property. So I'll go ahead and begin there with our priority 1 tier group. And in priority 1, item number 1, is the barbecue building, or Carlos's house. We had initially discussed an estimate of about $175,000 from 2013. We received an updated amount with current inflation and construction costs. We believe that somewhere in the neighborhood of about $205,000 is more accurate as the cost for this. So a slight increase, but certainly not too much. It is, if I didn't say already, item G located on the map. The barbecue building known as Carlos's House is a building that the town has been patchwork funding to repair for a number of years. The roof has been replaced. There are a number of windows that have been boarded up as they've been damaged. And internally, the building suffers from foundation issues, and portions of the walls are deteriorating due to moisture making its way in from an unknown source. There was an addition to the building in later times to establish living quarters that have completely been torn up by the elements. It is the desire of the town to remove the non-historic portion of the building and make the necessary repairs needed to return it to its original state for historical accuracy and the ability for its usage in a large number of activities that take place on the property. Due to its location on the property, it truly is the first structure that someone sees when they're entering the facility from the northern parking lot in Ramada area, which is currently used on a regular basis, even still today with these COVID times, for the farmers market. It creates a natural flow and entry point into the site, and its improvement is essential if we are to tell the story of Steam Pump Ranch, because that is essentially the way we're welcoming people onto the property itself. The fact that it's attached to the event lawn provides a delineation to activities taking place around the Ramada or on the lawn, whether it's used as a barbecue or simply as a historic structure that provides shades to visitors. As I stated, the updated cost estimates are slightly higher than what we were looking at before, but as I roll this into the next item, the bunkhouses, we had originally received an estimate of $219,000 back in 2008. This is item C on the Steam Pump Ranch map. Originally, the bunkhouses were envisioned as being a restroom building on site. There are two separate bunkhouses. It made sense that one would be for males and one would be for females, therefore, for the restroom facilities out there. When this estimate was put together, it was envisioned that there was going to need to be some additional plumbing and whatnot, infrastructure to make it a restroom. As we're envisioning the new future of the ranch out there, we don't see these properties as being used as a restroom facility. We see it more as being a versatile space that can be used for changing. It might work as a welcome center. There are a number of things that we could do in this piece of property that really make it much more versatile. As a part of the discussion as to what this piece of property would be when we were talking about it being restrooms in the past, there was still the idea of being able to put artifacts and smaller items on display in these buildings. We could still certainly do that with something that's a little bit more welcoming than a restroom that draws people in, as well as the fact that people could go into both buildings. So it with the idea of changing the usage, essentially, of these bunkhouses as to what was originally envisioned and removing that infrastructure, our updated cost estimate is roughly $200,000 now. It's $202,000, which the difference between Carlos's house and the bunkhouses almost is a wash when you look at what the updated estimates and costs are there, which is nice and which holds in keeping with what was told during the study session to the commission members. As we were working our way through this, we did see that there may be some savings somewhere. So we were able to actualize that. It will most likely be going towards the barbecue building if possible, but that's all a very nice development. But again, another key component of the bunkhouses is the fact that as we're telling the story of Steam Pump Ranch and inviting people in when they're coming past the Ramadas, they'd be walking through that across the event lawn, over to the garage building, which has already been approved and will be updated with town staff in there and people able to provide information. You'd continue along that route past the bunkhouse or to the bunkhouses, essentially, which you could also then view some of the artifacts and things that are stored there at the property, and then make your way over towards the ghosted structure and the actual steam pump itself. Item number three listed on the priority one, tier one grouping, would be to continue the planting plan throughout the property. This has been an item that is something that the town staff has worked hard every year to find a way to be able to continue to improve and make more inviting of the ranch. The most obvious and most welcomed improvement as a part of the planting plan has been the event lawn that was put in. And I'm sure as all of you are aware, it makes just an amazing setting for people to come in and visit the ranch, as well as to be able to host the events and different activities there. So it would be the desire to continue with the planting plan so that we could put more trees, more shrubs, and irrigation where it's needed throughout the site to continue greening up the space around the ranch and creating that connectivity. Number four, the Proctor Lieber House. We did not receive an updated estimate as of yet for this piece of property. We know that that's a little bit further out, but it is something that, as a part of the 2003 needs assessment, an estimate of $510,000 was established. Now, this would be just to preserve the property. It would not be related to any sort of upgrades for technology or any portion of that work that would undoubtedly need to be done with a building of that size. This is also the one structure that was identified by the 2020 Consult Econ Adaptability Report that would have a realistic possibility for retail or a food type of usage. Another reason why we have not updated this cost estimate is because the town would envision that a use of that type would have a contractual or partnership agreement between the town and whatever entity is using the space. Most likely that would require specific infrastructure for whatever those needs are. So the idea of the town getting estimates for that type of work, not knowing what it's going to be, is not something we've done as of yet, but that is our plan in moving forward, is to seek out a partner or a contractual entity which would look to move forward in improving the property, that specific structure, with us. Its current interior use is for storage of supplies, which staff sees continuing for the time being. However, minor repairs continue to be done to the building as a part of the porch area, as well as the backyard. So that is now a place where the community can also utilize, which is safe to do so, and where the planning plan has also assisted in years past and could in the future, as adding more elements to that portion of the property. Now, those four areas encompass the priority one, tier one grouping, which is what staff sees as the most important, the most needy portion of the ranch, and where it is that we would like to recommend focusing future dollars as a part of the budget in improvements to the property. The priority tier two, or the priority two group, identifies the remaining places on the property which could see some sort of improvement in the future, but do not rate at the level of need that the priority one group does. Priority one group is focused wholly on preservation of the historical items that are out there on the ranch, which is truly the asset that is out there. And that's why we're requesting that be funded prior to these items in the priority two grouping. I'll go through these again. These items on the list are these items listed here that I'm going to go through are identified on the map. There is no estimate. There was not an estimate given at the time of the study session, and there continues to not be one because we see this as being many years out. And a couple of these, or one of these items in particular, would certainly require an update to the master plan, which is not something we have even begun to consider or work on yet, but it's just a part of the process as we are to move forward. So with that being said, the priority two tier grouping, item number one would be the relocation of the garden and increased parking capacity and flow. So the garden is identified as item J on the map. And I must state at the start of this, I made an error in the last time I presented this, not only in the way I identified the garden, but also in the way that I had listed it in the staff report, in stating that it was originally located within the historic core. That was my mistake. And I do want to make sure that I do clarify that. So the idea of moving the heritage garden as a part of this item is to allow for better flow and functionality of the park. Determining a new location of that is not something necessarily that we are ready to do at this point in time, as again, it would take a master plan revision, which would take some time and have some other entities involved in. But as we're identifying this priority two group, it is something that goes out for an extended number of years. So the idea of just having this on the list and something that we would like to tackle is its importance and the reason why it's listed where it is here on the listing of priorities. So I did want to go ahead and make that clear as we move forward with this discussion so that there's not any confusion. And I apologize for any confusion I may have caused, but ultimately this item is on here because the relocation of the garden would allow for better functionality of the ranch itself as we host events, as we host activities, as people come to visit. And in the future, if we are able to find a partner for the Proctor Lieber House, it would provide with closer parking for a business that is taking place there on the ranch itself. So the second item listed is the stables, which is item L on the map. The stables are currently used for storage of equipment, and there are some structural issues with the building itself. Additionally, one of the biggest things with that piece of with that structure out there is the fact that the large roof is visible from the adjacent Steampunk Village property, and is the first thing that one sees when they enter the site from this direction. That would be something that we would like to have fixed up and cleaned up, because we think that that would also put a very nice foot forward if that were to be improved and provide a more welcoming entrance for people coming to the property from that end. Improvements to this structure are viewed as necessary for future usage, not only for functionality, but again, as I said, also for the aesthetics due to its size and its location. Item number three is the tack house, which is identified as item K on the map. This building is structurally sound, and it is split into multiple rooms, which serve as storage on the site. Unless there is a desire to drastically change the use of this building, the staff sees the use of storage as necessary and no improvement needed until other projects are addressed. That being said, we know that the Oro Valley Historical Society has voiced an interest in using the tack house as their final home to store historic artifacts and conduct collection preservation and office space. The last item listed under priority area number two is the Ramadas, traffic improvements, entry portals, and landscaping in the panhandle, which is that area over there in and around the stables and the tack house. As a part of the Steam Pump Ranch Assessment and Stabilization Report from 2014, this area was identified as needing improvements in the form of a new traffic entry point to the site, appropriate traffic improvements, shade ramadas, and landscaping where necessary. Staff sees these needs as being able to be delayed until other upgrades are made to the property in this area. This would ultimately be the finishing touch on the property, the way staff sees it, in a way to allow people to enter from a new entry point. And again, as I said, entering from that side, having the rest of the property done, would truly kind of wrap up telling that story of Steam Pump Ranch. Because as you move your way through the property, with the improvements, with the preservation efforts that are done, you'd really get a feel and a sense for what that property was like at the time when it was built, as well as how we are currently using it today. With its popularity, it only continues to grow. And it is with the idea of preserving that history that staff has made an effort in doing up until this point and will continue to do so, because while the setting is very nice, it's a total package there. And without the historic buildings and the history that goes along with it, that site just would not be as popular as it is today. So that is essentially the presentation identifying all of the items that are listed as a part of the recommendation and priority plan. As we work our way through this, again, this was presented so that we could have some future direction, but so that staff would also have the ability to move forward with asks as a part of the fiscal year 22 budget process. It is the recommendation of staff that we move forward and propose items 1 through 3 from the priority 1 funding area. You know, the commission is certainly able to discuss this and ask any questions as they see fit. Your approval of this to form essentially would be that the Historic Preservation Commission agrees that the focus does need to be on the historic core for future funding, and that putting forward these proposed items in particular align with your vision as well as the staff vision. So with that being said, I'd be happy to answer any questions or comments on this item.
Anyone raise their hand?
Chair Munson?
Go ahead, Mr. Commissioner Hanstead.
Thank you. I would just like to make a couple of general comments about the recommendations that we would be putting forth for future year budgeting. I'm a little bit concerned that the landscape or planting plan is more of an adapter use rather than any connection to preservation. I think it's a fine idea for the park and recreation events that are going on the historic property, but to call it a historic preservation expenditure seems to me to be inappropriate. Personally, I would approve the first two items, but not the third.
Can I make it?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Commissioner Huff? Mrs. Delaman, would you like to say something first?
Yeah, I was just going to make a note that part of the original master plan, as well as approved previous by previous HPCs, it has been the planting plan. The original master plan actually calls for very particular elements to be part of what tells the story. So having the grass, although it does make an event space and it is nice, it was called for in the master plan. It wasn't just done to make the area nice. And the continuation of the master plan, all of the trees that are on there are from the original master plan. They, the update that they did to the planning plan just made sure that they did thorough research on what kind of plants to put in. And we have noticed that in particular on that property, if you don't have the proper landscaping in place, you end up in a dust bowl, which then you, in addition to dust being not so great, you also end up with a health issue. So while it's a nicety, it's also a necessity. So I just wanted to share that information with y'all as you consider this.
Thank you, Ms. Stellerman. Now to you, Commissioner Huff, with your...
Thank you, Chair. I just wanted to add that the planning plan really did, as Lynann stated, was part of the master plan. The plants that are identified in that planning plan, most, if not all of them, have some historic tie to some phase and some historic period of Steam Pump Ranch. So they were, that planning plan was reviewed extensively in a public effort, not only through this commission, but in other modes as well. And it is based in history, and it wasn't, just plants identified that folks thought would look pretty at Steam Pump Ranch. I mean, there was an attempt to tie that in. And I can't guarantee that every plant on there has that historic connection, but I believe that the vast majority of them do. And I think with that, I mean, I would be supportive of the recommendations made, but I did want to note that they weren't randomly selected. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner Huff. Was there anyone else, Brandon, that wanted to speak?
Not that I was made aware of.
Okay. So do we make a motion? Are we voting on this? Yes, okay. We make a motion to approve the step one. Is that what it was called? Hold on.
Tier one.
Mm-hmm. Priority one. I make a motion that we approve. I'll start with all approve priority one, all three items for the future 2022 budget request. Do I have a second?
I second, Mike Wilson.
Seconded by Commissioner Wilson. Do we take a roll, please, Brandon?
Yes. Vice Chair Beal.
Yes.
Commissioner Honestad.
Abstain.
Commissioner Huff.
Approve.
Commissioner Wilson.
Approve.
Chair Munden.
Approve.
Thank you all.
So I'm not sure what to do here. Is it approved or not?
Yeah.
Yeah, we have a majority.
It was unanimous. Okay.
Well, yes, upon abstention. Okay. Find out where I am. Okay. The next item, please, Mr. Lau.
Yes, item number 4 of the regular session agenda is discussion regarding the Historical Society board letter received on October 5th, 2020.
And we established that Mr. Hanstead will take the floor on this item. Commissioner Hanstead?
Chair Munden, I understand Commissioner Hanstead had some questions for me, I believe.
I believe that they were resolved earlier in the day.
Okay. And so, yeah, you were asking the rules on this type of thing. Is that correct?
Yes. And I'm quite satisfied with what I was told earlier.
Okay. I should probably let the rest of the group know. I don't know if they're aware of the rules. Would you mind if I said that to them?
Oh, certainly. Go ahead.
Okay. Basically, you can't direct staff, so you couldn't tell them, hey, you need to do this. However, there is nothing wrong with you saying, hey, we'd like to see maybe this go in a different direction because we're not happy with it, or give your discussion so that Mr. Jankowski and staff can take it into consideration. You need to be aware of town policy number 2. And wherever I say council here, it also applies to boards and commissions. This is one of the collegiality rules. And it says the council should show personal and professional respect for staff, and a staff member should never be reprimanded in public. If a problem arises, they should be alert the town manager, who can then handle the situation quickly and privately. The council should also respect the staff's administration and technical expertise. Although you may not choose to accept a staff recommendation, there's no need to be harshly critical of the recommendation or to engage in personal attacks on staff in order to justify selecting another course. So basically, play nice. And if at all possible, give the reasons why you disagree. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Seidels. Mr. Lau, I assume we're going to the next item?
Commissioner Hanstead. Yeah.
I had agreed that I had understood the rules for tonight's discussion. I did not mean to yield the floor and not have the discussion. Okay. Basically, when I have read the letter, I don't know how many times now, but it seems to me that two themes are beginning to come out in that letter that I think the commission itself should be concerned with. And one may be a case of accidental drift, where changes which are probably quite reasonable and logical occur as surprises to interested parties. And just in a error, I would say it's always best if staff errs on the overly cooperative rather than just treating each event as if it was nothing. So I would like to see that the concerns of the Historical Society can be addressed sympathetically by the staff. The second area that I see is a concern that is always present in historical preservation. Just how far do you go on adaptive use before it becomes detrimental? And their interested parties, like the Historical Society, very definitely have, under the federal rules, a opportunity to comment, not necessarily to persuade or otherwise, but to simply comment on the proposed change before it takes place. So Those were my basic feelings, and I'm wondering if the society would like to comment.
Does anyone have anything to discuss about this item further? We're not voting on this, correct? Yes. Okay.
It's correct.
Chair Munden, I do not see any hand raised for discussion, just so you're aware.
Okay, so we'll go on to the next item then, Mr. Lau?
Yes, next on the agenda is department update.
Okay, that is me. So I'll just give kind of a general report. We have had a very successful month of haunted car rides at Steampunk Ranch. I know that sounds like a lot of silliness, but we bring in history. We do a haunted road trip across Arizona and research all of the buildings across Arizona that people call haunted, which includes a lot of their history. So very fun little event, which again brings in some history from Arizona, and we get a lot of very positive feedback because it's so different from what anybody else does for Halloween. And number two, the town and the Parks and Recreation Department have begun allowing attendance to some of our indoor venues in a very COVID safe manner. This includes the Historical Society's ability to resume providing tours at the ranch using the standards that were set forth by Pima County and adopted by the town of Oro Valley as COVID safe. And then we recently held a meeting with Corky Poster with his firm. The firm's current name is Poster, Murcho, and McDonald, or PMM. And the town's Information Technology Department, Water Department, and Public Works Department, the directors from each of those, as well as Christy, Matt, and I, to discuss steps for the work to begin there on the garage, as well as the push house alarm and fire suppression system. I don't know yet when those things will begin, but all of those final details are getting worked out prior to construction. Our next HPC meeting is tentatively set for December 7th at 5 p.m. And then I just wanted to ask my partner here on staff, Matt, if he has anything to add.
No, I did not at this time. I believe you covered it all, Anne. Thank you.
Okay, great. Thank you. And that's my report.
Thank you, Mrs. Delaman and Mr. Jankowski. Moving on to future items. The commission may bring forth general topics for future meeting agendas. Items brought forth for future meetings need to be seconded by another commissioner. Do we have any items for the tentative December 7th or another future agenda item? Okay, seeing no further business, I move to adjourn at 5:58. May I have a second?
Second.
Chair Beal, Vice Chair Beal, seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Thank you. Good night.
Good night. Thank you.
Thank you, everyone.
Great meeting. Thanks, guys.